Steve and Jill here.
Hello.
Welcome to the Land Academy Show, entertaining land investment talk. I'm Stephen Jack Butella.
And I'm Jill DeWitt, broadcasting back in beautiful Southern California today.
Today, Jill and I talk about professional land acquisitions, a step-by-step approach. And here's what you have to look forward to. The way Jill and I buy and sell land, and the people in our group buy property, is the single best way, hands down, to buy real estate for anyone. It is the same way that real estate investment trusts buy property. It's the same way. I used to work for these kooks. So I learned all of this. It's hard for me to quantify it. We're exposing the whole industry, quite honestly.
Well, maybe we should just stop right now.
Stop the show right now?
Yeah.
Why?
I'm joking.
What does that mean?
I'm joking. Giving away all our secrets?
Oh, no, no.
That's what it sounds like you were meaning.
No, I'm just saying, there's no better way to buy real estate. This is how the big guys do it, too. Before we get into it, let's take a question posted by one of our members on the landacademy.com online community. It's free.
Katrina asks two questions. Question one, I have a land deal I'm selling via land contract. I have a few questions about the land contract closing process. Number one, do you record the land contract? Two, if you don't record the land contract, do you record an affidavit of the land contract so the terms of the deal can be hidden? Three, do you not record anything at all? So that's part of question one. Do you want me to answer the whole thing, or you want to answer that first?
I'll answer these okay.
Okay.
Right now, there's a second part of the question. That's why Jill says that. Number one, do you record the land contract? That entirely and completely matter. It depends on what state it's in.
Right.
If it's Arizona, no. And her second part of her question is, if you don't record the land contract, do you record an affidavit? Again, it depends on where you are, and the answer is no in Arizona and California. And actually, pretty much out west. Colorado's got some strange laws, but you have to really, my point in all this is you got to check what the rules are. And number three, she says, do you record anything at all? We don't.
Yeah.
It all gets recorded when the last payment's made.
My way of looking at this kind of thing is I only record things that I absolutely have to, or when I'm completely done with a transaction and I want to be out, removed from any tax liabilities. Not that it matters. But, you know, just have it all up to date, recorded the right way. So anything that any special circumstance that I have made available to my buyer, I like to keep it between my buyer and me.
Yeah.
Until we're all done and everything's cool, because you know what? It's seller financing. I really am allowed to make the rules.
Right.
I really can do whatever I want with this person on this property. And then when it's all done, then we'll record it.
Yep.
So that's how I look at it. Okay, now question two. The buyer wants title insurance for the property, even though I'm selling on a land contract and they will not receive ownership until the property is paid in full. They're willing to pay the closing costs and title insurance costs if we close through a title insurance company. My question is, can they actually get title insurance now, even though the deed will not transfer into their name until 10 years from now when they finish paying off the property?
Okay, so what you're getting into is the second type of selling property on terms, which is called a deed of trust, which is, and again, this all depends on the state you're in. It sounds to me now like she's probably, this is out west. A deed of trust is the way you typically buy a house or a car, for that matter. You get it gets recorded, and with it, just like you're buying, the same way a car does, the title gets processed, but there's a lien on it because you still owe money on it. So then you can get title insurance, and just like a house, you don't walk around, you know, telling anybody you don't own your house just because there's a lien on it.
That's true.
And you always get title insurance, right? So you do that right up front. So now you might want to consider, if the deal is big enough, you might want to consider doing a deed of trust.
Right.
It's real hard to undo if and when they foreclose.
But it's a more valuable property, and I'm assuming they really want this.
And it sounds to me like that too, Joe, from the level of detail and all that. So, and it's 10 years.
I would feel good with this.
And it's a 10-year term, it sounds like. So I would consider doing deeds of trust. All through my career, I've done both. And the reason that I have used a deed of trust is because we had a good relationship with the seller. a buyer, and they really believe that they're going to close.
Right.
And go through the term and all that. And work
exactly.
with us. They're not going to go south, you know.
Yeah, based on what we're hearing here, Katrina, this is a good one.
Yeah.
This is a safe one, and I would go through that process too.
Cool. Today's topic, professional land acquisitions, step by step. This is the meat of the show. Jill and I were out to dinner a couple nights ago, and we were talking about all the different, as if we don't have anything better to talk about except real estate when we go out to dinner.
Imagine that.
One of the things we were talking about is how we buy property, because we're doing some really, really large urban land deals right now. Millions of dollars. You know, we're going to make a ton of money on these properties. And her question is, why are we not making sure that every single deal is like this?
Right.
And I couldn't answer that.
Right.
So now it gets me really thinking, we are buying property the same way that, publicly traded huge real estate companies like Toll Brothers and Shea Homes, mm-hmm. how they buy land and subdivide it and build new houses. That's what we are teaching and implementing. We are the end. Mm-hmm. This is the single best way mm-hmm. to buy any type of real estate. What she's really asking me is, we should be making a heck of a lot more money per deal.
Bingo.
Why aren't you, Steve, making sure you only send letters to potential deals like that?
That was the truth.
I know.
I mean, that was really it.
I can't stop thinking about it.
And I've had this conversation with a lot of our, with our members too. Like, you know, how much money you want to make, how many deals you want to do. You know, you could do less. It's the same time, especially when you get into these bigger deals and you're not even having to close them. Come on, we're going, when it's a $50,000, $100,000 deal, I'm not closing it myself. Heck no.
Right.
You know, I'm going through escrow and using title insurance. So they're even easier. They're doing the work.
Right.
All I'm doing is making sure everybody's happy and babysitting it. That's really it. And what my team does, and just make sure that, you know, we're all, everybody, and it closes quickly, because that's what we all want. And that's it. It's great. So my thoughts were, we already have long ago stopped doing really small deals, because it just took the time and energy, even though, and I mean, ones that we would close ourselves. So we just stopped those so long ago. I don't like them at all. We don't do them. So now you hit this next level, and eventually you're where we are, and you're saying, all right, I think I'm ready for the next level.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I don't know. I'm trying to think of here's a good example, learning to fly. Okay. I remember when I was first learning to fly, a little Cessna 150 seemed really fast to me. Like, cause especially when you're coming into land, it looks like you have a death wish. I mean, you're landing. All you're doing is pointing your nose at the ground. Like, what am I doing? This seems so fast. Oh my gosh, I'm going to die. No, you're not. And I remember someone saying, just wait, at some point, this plane is going to feel too slow for you.
Yeah.
You'll move on. I'm like, oh, I don't think that's ever going to happen. No, and it does. So you move on and you move on and you move on, you know, and you get more comfortable. I was thinking, so it's probably the same with cars. You know, we're both car people too.
Yeah.
You know, that's what's so funny. Like the guy who sold me my car, he made the mistake of saying, oh, no, no, you don't want that one. That one's way too powerful for you. You're a girl. Oh,
he really?
Really?
Said that.
He did.
I can't believe he said that. I'm not questioning it. I was standing there.
Man, you're a girl. That one's, you don't need that much power. Really? Maybe that was all part of his game. If he did, I bought a hook, line, and sinker.
You bought a used car and it was half the price.
You're right. But I did buy the biggest, baddest one. But the point is, I'm sure there's a lot of women that go, oh, okay. No, I don't want that.
I hope not.
So, no, I think there are. I don't know.
I hope not.
But anyway, the point is, we are up in our game too. And so it was a good discussion for us, because sometimes you get caught up into, what if you're doing $50,000 infill lots all day long in, let's just say, Southern Florida? We know a lot of people that are doing that. Buying them for 50, selling them for 110.
Or 80.
Because they're
or 90,
on
yeah.
the golf course.
Right.
And they're awesome. They may even buy them for less than that. At some point you go, huh, maybe I should be buying a strip mall. You know, because I know how to buy these. I could buy a strip mall now, and I know that Westfield wants this kind of a stuff.
People sell real estate not because they're, on the vast majority of the time, because of a life circumstance, not because of the actual land itself. They almost always choose to sell their real estate at the wrong time in their life, you know?
That's a good point.
This is a step-by-step condensed version of professional land acquisitions. This is how Toll Brothers does it. I mean, this is how the largest developers and real estate investment trusts do it. They define their acquisition criteria. Step one, we're a home builder, a medium-sized home builder. We want acreage between 40 is our lowest and 160 is our largest. That's a sweet spot. It's got to be on one county. One part of it has to be on a county road. It'd be great if two county roads hit it, but one will work. And it needs to be between $1,200 and $1,800 an acre for it to work. And it can't be further west than X or further north than this or what. So they define their acquisition criteria very, very, very
detailed.
Yeah, in very much detail. Number two, they get a finite list of data, either from RealQuest or from DataTree or Title Pro, mm-hmm. We're licensed providers of all three, and they send everybody an offer.
Yep.
Or they call them, or they skip trace them. If it's a real small area, they'll get to know and develop relationships with everybody. But that I've done all these things.
Mm-hmm.
That almost never works because they're just not ready to sell. So you need to send them offers, period, with a closing time frame, and you need to Jillify it. You need to become their friend when they call you back, and really get serious about closing the property. And that's it. That's a step-by-step approach. If you're a real estate investment trust, you're buying for yourself. That's easy. If you're a group like us, it makes it even easier, in a much better situation, because you don't just have one person you're going to sell it to in their back pocket. You've got 1,500 acquisition criteria like that now. So all you need to do is find a good deal. Then you can choose the buyer.
I've got to say, I think we even have a better advantage too, because the way we come at these, and I use this to my advantage when I'm talking to people, how great is this that you get to negotiate with one of the owners and I can make whatever deal I want. I don't have to go back and answer to the board. I don't have to do this. So that's number one, is an awesome point that I've noticed and used. Number two, how many sellers do you think are going to change their whole mind about the transaction when they hear, oh, Westfield is calling, yeah, or Toll Brothers are calling? They're going to go, ding, ding, I'm going to get top. They might hold out and maybe even shoot themselves in the foot,
mm-hmm,
you know, as they move on to the next deal, you know, kind of thing. I have to wonder if that doesn't hurt the situation a little bit too. So just a thought.
We are in the absolute, this isn't by accident, mm-hmm, the best situation a real estate investment company can possibly be in. We have private money.
Right.
Our money, sometimes our members' money, sometimes other groups of money, but it's all private. We only choose the best deals.
Mm-hmm.
And we only sell property, buy property. We only know that it's sold before we buy it.
Right.
So that, there's no, to answer your question from the other night, there's no reason we should be now probably doing any deal that's where we'd net less than $250,000.
Thank you.
Up from, I think, what was our most recent? We agreed on like 50,000.
Exactly.
It's pretty simple stuff.
It really
and
is.
And frankly, it's your whole,
it's even easier.
Airplane analogy is perfect. It's easier.
Mm-hmm. It does get easier. It does. Yeah, the bigger the plane, the easier it is to fly. It flies itself. So the bigger the deal, the easier it is to fly. And on that note, it's my birthday.
Oh, yeah. I was going to talk about it in the after show. But yeah.
Okay, well, that's fine. I just wanted to get that
happy
in there.
Happy birthday, Jill.
Thank you.
It's been your birthday month, quite honestly.
Oh, it will be.
Well, you've done it again. You spent another 15 minutes with us listening to the Land Academy show. Join us tomorrow for another interesting episode where we discuss land investment diversification. It's a step two from what we talked about today.
And we answer your questions posted on landinvestors.com, our online community. It's free.
You are not alone in your real estate ambition.
Sorry, did I goof you up? Were you going to sing to me?
No.
What?
I wasn't going to sing to you.
What?
I will do whatever you want.
You know?
Off the air.
I don't think you've ever sung to me.
I have not on the air. I know I have.
You have sung to me,
oh,
though?
Oh, my gosh, yes. Like at the top of my lungs.
Oh, we do. Wait, that's not screaming. Screaming doesn't count. Screaming is not singing. So will you sing to me then later?
I sure will.
Okay, I'd like that. Share the fun by subscribing on iTunes, wherever you are listening. And while you're at it, please rate us there. We are Steve and Jill.
Information
and inspiration
to buy undervalued property.